Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. For Bar Snack, we're talking movies. With us, we got a longtime friend of mine, Pat. We've been friends since freshman year in high school. And we're going to talk about movies that should never be remade, movies that need a remake, movies that should never had a sequel, and movies that need a sequel. You ready to go here, Pat?
Yeah, good to go, buddy.
All right, so we're going to start here with movies that I think should never have a remake. And we'll play a little game with this, see if each one of us can figure out what movie we're talking about here. First movie here, what I would consider as an all-star cast. Directed by Richard Donner, who directed both Superman 1 and 2 and Lady Hawk. He also did music videos. If I told you the music video right now, you'd know the movie right away. But the cast had Sean Austin, Josh Brolin, Jeff Cohen, Corey Feldman, Cary Grant, Martha Plimpton, and John Matuszak. What movie is it?
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Sean Austin's giving me one here. That Toy Soldiers?
No, Goonies.
Goonies.
Goonies. Oh, should...
How was I thinking?
Goonies.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that one. They need to leave that alone.
You couldn't make that movie today.
Oh, no, you couldn't. No.
I mean, just the scene where Corey Feldman talks to the maid and starts telling her about the sex toys in the attic and what drawers the drugs go in.
Oh, yeah, totally. There's a lot of movies like that nowadays that you couldn't, especially the 80s, you could never remake those movies. You'd be run out of town.
So what do you got for your never should be remade?
All right, well, for my never should be remade, Corey Feldman is also in mine. And mine also, well, I, River Phoenix, Will Wheaton, that probably gets away right there. But I believe Rob Reiner directed and it's actually a story based on Stephen King, one of his stories.
It would be The Lost Boys.
Not quite.
Stephen
King's The Body. It's Stand By Me.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Why did I think Will Wheaton was in Lost Boys? But yes, I will agree with that.
Yeah, Stand By Me, for my money, it's everything. It's got the perfect cast. Even down to Jerry O'Connell, who plays that Goofy, the doofus kid.
Yeah.
The story arc. The backstory, the front story, the finishing up at the end, it comes, full circle, and then at the very end they throw in a little piece of telling you, like, how each guy ended up, and it just puts the envelope on it. And it's just like the perfect story movie. Yeah, it's one of my favorites since I first saw it.
I definitely will agree with you there. That's one of those very iconic coming of age type stories.
Yeah, and again, another one that would be tough to do today, given some of the sexual jokes and,
Yep. Even down to the leech on his pecker.
Oh, yeah. And then when they're throwing off the, firing off the gun behind the restaurant, and then, they talk about the waitress, and then later that night, they're talking about some Annette's tits or something on some TV show, and
Yeah.
So
Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, and that Finicello. You're right. That's what it was. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Now let's go on to movies that need a remake. I don't know if you'll get this one.
What's the next one?
All right. Movies that need a remake. Like when they came out, we were like, this is going to be amazing, and just fell way too short. Let's go with 2002, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, and ended up with a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
oh.
yeah. And the only big actor in there is Cliff Curtis. If you look him up, he's done some more recent stuff. I think he was on Fear the Walking Dead and some other shows. But 5%. You know which one this one is? Iconic cartoon on Nickelodeon. The cartoon was amazing.
That doesn't ring a bell.
The Last Airbender.
Oh, my God. I should have known that. My ex-wife was really into the anime, and she used to watch that cartoon.
The cartoon's great. They Netflix just announced that they're doing the girl who was the waterbender. They're doing a series just on her.
Oh, so, okay.
I mean, it was a great show, but the movie was so bad. So bad. Did you ever see the movie?
Yeah. I could never see that movie because it was like, you know, it's just too much of a memory, rehashing memories. I didn't want to go back down that road.
It wasn't about the movie. It was about the ex-wife.
Yeah, it was just too much of, yeah. So, but no, I saw the previews were really awesome, but I guess I.
That was the whole movie. You saw the whole movie then.
Yeah, I guess so. There's been a few of those.
What do you got?
Well, mine was actually, I enjoyed this movie when we were kids, but in thinking of how far technology has come, especially with geopolitical stuff, when the war in the world as we know it, I thought to myself, about a year ago, I watched this on cable, just flipping around channels, and it just happened to be on. And I thought to myself, this movie's really dated, but the concept stands strong. I thought to myself, man, if they remade this today, it would be something else. And, you know, I'm talking about an old computer, it's a computer movie, obviously. So all the computers are really old. It's got a lot of 80s actors. Matthew Broderick stars in it.
Oh, War Games.
Yeah, War Games. Yeah, so.
I like it.
Yeah, if they were like, you know, replace Russia with Iran or something like that.
Or China even.
China, yeah, there you go. And then you update all the computer technology to everything, and including like drone warfare or whatever. I mean, it could be, you know, with the right actors, and it's somewhat of a similar story. You know, it should have. I think it could be really cool.
Wasn't there a remake of that movie not long ago? But I feel like they did try to remake it once.
Oh, if they did, I missed it. I didn't hear about that. You know.
I feel like there was a War Games remake or something that, yeah, War Games the Dead Code in 2008.
Huh.
There was a movie, War Games the Dead Code. It was a remake. I never saw it. I don't know anything about it, but it's funny you were talking about it. I'm like, man, I feel like they did this movie.
Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, see that? So they need a remake that actually people will watch also.
Yeah, well, that sounds more like a sequel than an actual remake. I don't know.
I'm trying to see what they considered it as. You know what? You're absolutely right. It actually says here... They listed on Wikipedia saying it's a sequel to the 83 movie War Games. So you are right.
Okay. Yeah, it's they remade the original. Talking about, I mean, there was an element in the whole Terminator mythology that had a similar, you know, what happened if machines took over kind of thing. But, you know, that obviously went to a whole different degree, but. You know, a war machine movie where, you know, the computer makes the chess move, as it were. With today's technology, it's like, forget about it. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely agree with that. I forgot Ally Sheedy was in the original one.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She was, like, she's definitely an iconic 80s actress. Now, movies that need a sequel. I'm not even going to attempt to stump you on this one, because I had never even seen the original till probably about 3-4 years ago. One of my sons for school had to read the original book. And then he said, hey, they recommended us to watch this movie. I want to watch it. And it's amazing. It's called City of Ember. It's amazing. Bill Murray's in it. Tim Robbins is in it. It was a book series. If you've got kids and they're in that maybe a tween kind of age, early teens, I would tell you to watch it. It's one of those ones where the kids figure out all the stuff that the adults should have already figured out. You've got the greedy mayor who doesn't want anything to change, and the kids figure out what's going on so that they can, you know, escape this post-apocalyptic world they're living in to see what's on the surface. It's phenomenal, called City of Ember. Cannot recommend it more. It came out in 2008.
Wow, yeah, I haven't heard of that either.
Right. That's what I said. I didn't ever see it. It's even it's right around like the Harry Potters were getting big and all that stuff. Highly recommend it. City of Ember, Bill Murray, Tim Robbins. They're not huge characters in the movie, but they are important characters. But such a good movie. A very good and the hero in it is a young girl who figures everything out of what's going on. It's just, I think it's a perfect movie for today. A little bit of that empowerment that everybody's looking for. And it's just a great, great movie.
Cool. Yeah. I have a daughter getting ready to turn 13. So have to check that out.
Oh, sit down and watch it with her. She'll love it. We ended up having to buy it, I think, on like iTunes or something like that, because nobody had it loaded for free watching, but it's worth it to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
And what you got for me?
So I originally had a different movie for this category, needs a sequel. But then I was thinking of a movie that almost was a sequel. They actually just started playing around with scripts. But unfortunately, what would have been the lead actor died. And there would have been no movie without him. And just, you just can't do it. And, you know, all you got to say is the iconic Robin Williams. And you know what movie I'm talking about.
No, what are you talking about?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Were they going to make another one of those?
Yes, they were. They were in talks to, you know, he was signed on. Sally Fields was signed on. And Harvey Fierstein, who played the brother, he signed on. And it sounded like it was going to be on fire in all cylinders. And they were playing with the different scripts and everything before, unfortunately, Robin Williams had his... issues and, passed away. And I just thought to myself, man, that was one sequel that me and a bunch of people were dying to see.
I would have watched that. Absolutely.
Totally, yeah.
But that's a tough one, though. Do you think that that would have... God, that would have had a... They would have had to hit such a home run, or it would have ended up in our next category of movies that should have never had a sequel.
That's true. And actually, they were talking about that. Part of the deal, I guess, Robin had struck was that he wanted, creative control, but he wanted a percentage of the creative input.
Okay.
Because even he said in an interview, this has got to be done right or not at all.
Yeah, because that's a tough one, man. Because that's an iconic movie. You could very easily have put that in the category of movies that should never have a remake.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, I would never touch the original, not in a million years. Yeah, because, yeah, that's no. But the sequel, that would have been cool. I can't remember the other one I was originally going to put, but it was an idea I had. I was watching a movie one night, and it was a gangster flick. And I thought to myself, it would be kind of cool if they, picked up did a sequel 20 years later, and all these guys are out running around killing each other. But what about their kids? Because it struck me that in this particular movie, and it slips my mind which one it was, that they all had kids, and I'm thinking to myself, their kids in 20 years are going to be their age, and it's like it'd be interesting to see if. They did one of these gangster movies, classic or not, and then they, do like a next generation thing where the kids either get revenge or right or wrong or something like that.
I get what you're saying. Do you remember, you don't remember what movie it was?
No, because I, I want to say it was something. You see, now I'm not even sure if it was a movie or a TV, one of the TV series, like a Sopranos thing or something.
Were you drinking heavily and just lost consciousness? I mean,
no, it wasn't that. It's just, it all blurs together now because I started thinking of like one type of movie and then they all blur together.
I understand that. Well, and movies that should have never had a sequel. I think my choice for this, I think a lot of people may disagree with me. I may get hate mail from the four people that will listen to this entire show. at least, I'll know who they are. But movies that should never had a sequel, for me, I'll give you if I told you the lead actor, you'd get it right away. But 1990, directed by Chris Columbus, which is, if you watch the Netflix special about this, have you seen the Netflix movies of the 80s or something like that? It's something along those lines where they go over how these movies were made.
No, I don't think so.
There's a good one on Netflix. It's similar to like the toy one they did, how they were made for toys. They do a how they were made for movies. And this one was pretty interesting. But we'll go backwards on the cast. Daniel Stern, Joe Pesci, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Home Alone.
Right. Home Alone should have never had a sequel.
No.
The first one was perfect. The first one was great. Macaulay Culkin was cute. But the fact that you lost your, we've all seen the memes. They lost their kid twice. The kid was a psychopath for all the stuff he did. He never called 911, all those kind of things. But that it just seemed like it was such a fun holiday movie for what it was. But it never needed a sequel. I think, you started getting into the sequels. There was one cute scene in the second one where as they're leaving the house, they ask for where he's at and he's sitting in the front seat and you don't realize it's him. But other than that, like, did it really need a sequel? Because what was there? Was there two or three of those movies? I think it was three.
There was three because there was a part three where they brought in a whole different actor. And it was a stinker.
That's so bad. Oh, wait a sec. I just typed in Home Alone into Google, and it came up with Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House.
No.
2002, family comedy, not rated. Home Alone 4, Taking Back the House. IMDb gives it a 2.6, and it's a 1 out of 5 through Common Sense Media. Oh, that's so bad.
Yeah, so that non-rated tells you right there went straight to DVD, too.
Yeah, they even had Home – oh, no, it's just Alone for Christmas. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So that was my choice of a movie that should have never had a sequel is Home Alone. What do you got for me, Pat?
So I got one that it was so funny. I saw the original in the theater and about pissed my pants. And it was like, okay, they announced the sequel and I was really excited. I was like, oh, this is going to be good because it's going to have the original guys. And, it's kind of a, again, you tell the actors you gave it away, Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels.
Oh, yeah. Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber, yeah. So I saw it and I was like, this was a cash grab. I hate to say it, but that's all it was. They took advantage of, whether it was them or the studio, but somebody took advantage of the fact that, there was an anniversary for Dumb and Dumber, and there was like a big Comic-Con push where they were big there, something like that. And then the studio guys were like, hey, we can, it's popular again. Let's rehash what we did 20 years ago. And it's just new material, just wasn't there. And I was looking at the credits. I don't even know if, like, Jim Carrey had much writing credit. I don't know, but then again, just from my opinion, and it might be unpopular and I might be booed by the same four people, But I don't think Jim Carrey's been funny for the last 20 years. He went through some weird melancholy shit and came out the other side like a totally different dude. And I don't know if it's like guilt over his, you know, wealth or like just being a different like age bracket. I don't know. But
Man in the Moon messed him up, I think. Man in the Moon messed him up.
Yeah, you know, I go with that because that's about where it started.
Yep, that's the Andy Kaufman movie. But I will say, if you take the time and watch him in Sonic the Hedgehog, that movie's great. And he is the regular Jim Carrey in that movie, the Jim Carrey we love. And it's a hilarious movie. I would even put it in the honorable mentions of Needs a Sequel. It was that good.
Huh, okay. Yeah, I didn't mess with like Sonic Hedgehog for the same reason I didn't mess with that movie Pixels, because I was like, okay, that's just
Pixels was funny. It was funny.
Oh, yeah. I just saw it as like, okay, they're just making taking the piss on like these old early video games or whatever, and you know.
Oh, I loved it. Do you got any honorable mentions in any other categories?
I have one that I thought about as far as movies that should have never been remade. I don't know if that's a category we covered, but
yeah, we did.
Should have never been remade category is I would have to go with Red Dawn.
Yes. Oh, so bad.
The new Red Dawn was just like, it sucked so bad. I was like, this is not even remotely kind of believable. It's not that it needed to be that believable, because the original was like, okay, whatever.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's like, I don't know. It just wasn't there for me.
But an all-star cast. On the original, yeah. All-star cast. But I agree. Howard, wasn't it at the end of the remake where he pulls away in the Mustang with like a 50 cal attached to the roof of it or something?
Yeah, it was something goofy like that, yeah.
Yeah, I will agree with you. See, now for my movies that should never have a remake, or should never have been remade, I'll know here soon. So I'm a big fan of 1984's Dune, based on the Hebert books. That movie was just... It struck me. It was probably the first real sci-fi I watched when we were kids. 8 years old, I remember seeing that movie and just being blown away. If you've never seen Dune, take the time to learn about Paul Atreides and just what goes on this planet of Dune and the spice. It's so good. Oh, it's so amazing. But the remake, I don't know what's going on with it, with all the COVID-19 stuff. They were hot and heavy into it. Jason Momoa's in the remake. He actually shaves his beard off for this movie.
Wow.
So definitely, that's my honorable mention there is Dune. I don't know what's going to happen with it. It's coming, though.
I think I saw it, but that goes quite a bit back for me. I mean, I probably haven't seen that since I was a kid. Yeah.
Dune is the only movie that I can promise you I've owned it on every platform ever created that I've owned. I had it on VHS, I had it on DVD, and I have it on digital. If they put it out on a platform, that's the one movie that I will own. Yeah. And Sci-Fi Channel tried to remake it back in the 90s, like late 90s, early 2000s, and this was back when sci-fi was just starting to try to make movies. They gave it a good shot. They stayed much closer to Hebert's books than the original movie did. But it really, like, it had that early Doctor Who feel of, like, closing doors and the whole set shakes kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. Yeah. So what else you got going on, Pat? You got anything you want to plug here for our forward listeners?
Not a lot, just working on I'm actually working on putting together we're talking about the gangster movies. I'm putting together a new novel I'm hoping to put out sometime next year.
How many books you got now?
I guess I got three. I got a children's book called The Adventures of Charlie the Super Chicken. That's on Amazon. I got the original Lords of Charm City, That was kind of my baby for a long time. That book started as a hobby where I opened up a Word file one day, typed it like two chapters. I had an idea for a book, and then I would just go back to it every once in a while and add to it. And like 5 years later, I realized it was done. It was a whole thing. And so I put it out on my own self-publishing thing. That's on Amazon too. And that's, I tried real hard to promote that when it came out too, because I was like, I got a bunch of copies. I sent it to everybody. You know, I mean, I sent it all around Baltimore because the story takes place in Baltimore. And one of the things I like to put in the blurb is the city of Baltimore actually becomes a character in itself in this book, because it's mentioned so many times, and it kind of, it's one of the things that keeps the story grounded as far as what you are or what these guys are and where they're at in a particular timeline. And I sent it to like 98 Rock, local rock station there. I sent it to, I found out John Waters' local office address, and I sent him a copy. And, you know, I sent a copy to the bookstore he co-owns. I mean, I was just like blanket sent that thing out, you know. And if it sucks, I don't know. It was kind of cool. But like I said, it was a hobby, and I thought it was kind of cool. And then I got real spiritual in the last 10 years. So, you know, as long as I was opening up that, you know, Word file, well, every once in a while, I get inspiration and like different lyrics to songs and poetry. And I realized one day I had quite the collection of them, so I put them into a book. And, you know, I looked for ones that had similar themes, and so I called that The Lighthouse, Musings of Love, Faith, and Ways Out of the Storm, because there's some in there that are about love, kissy kissy, whatever. Some in there some in there that are about faith and, you know, finding your way through that storm. And, you know, because, you know, some of it was written during some pretty dark times, and it comes across that way. But, you know, it's, you know, I put it all together, and, you know, I've had some of the people that have read it, and they're like, wow, it's really cool. And, you know, so my next foyer is, I had an interesting idea from watching the movie, actually, of, you know, what it would be like if there's rules to attorneys with attorney-client privilege, and this whole TV show I was watching at the time was about that. And then I used to work for a healthcare consulting firm, so I got pushed into the deep world of consulting and how consultants are an interesting career, because they get paid by the client, they work for the client for the benefit of the client, but they're their own entity. So I said, well, what if we mixed the idea of an attorney with a consultant? So then you get somebody who you, if you were a bad guy, you could come and consult with if you had plans to do something, and he can tell you where to go, what not to do, what to do, what to look out for. And the beauty of it is, if he has a law degree, that's attorney-client privilege, you can't touch it.
That's an interesting concept. That's almost like a Better Call Saul kind of thing.
Exactly. Better Call Saul, I actually fell into after I had the idea for this, and I was like, damn it. But at the same time, my idea is more, my guy is more consultant than lawyer, and he gets in, you know, actually gets involved in a couple things. And so I thought to myself, okay, well, that's an interesting idea, but every novel needs an arc. It's got to be some kind of story to it.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to get involved in a lifestyle like that if you have any kind of real conscience, you know. Because like it or not, you may end up helping somebody get away with some stuff that's going to hurt some real people. And so this becomes his undoing, where he develops a conscience one day, and then it's too late to get out, and he decides, okay, well, you know, how am I going to get out of here? And that becomes the overarching story of the novel. Is, you know, he starts out, he's making killer money, he's got great connections, party time left and right, but then he discovers that he's actually helping to hurt people, and that really messes with his head. So
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, the working title right now is called The Consultant.
So, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoys this little bar snack here. I'm your host, Sean. If you want to talk to us, we can be found at Twitter at AboveTheBar4. Our Instagram is above_the_bar_podcast. On Podbean, we're AboveTheBar.podbean.com. And Facebook, Above the Bar Podcast. And finally, our email is theabovethebarpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, I'm your host, Sean, and our guest today, Pat. Any last words, Pat?
No, I love the podcast. Looking forward to hearing some more.
Sounds great. Hope everybody has a good day, and we'll talk to you soon.